I actually still remember watching you when I was younger and seeing you break the receptions record on Monday Night Football. The way you handled that is with true dignity, humility, and class, just like you've done everything else in your career. And you've really set the standard for all of the Redskins and Commanders receivers that have followed you. It'll truly be an honor to be part of celebrating you on November 2nd. Can't wait to see you there. Congratulations.
I was Adam Peters, GM of the Local 53, talking about my favorite player of all time, Art Monk. I was moved, quite frankly. Seeing that made me really excited, made me nostalgic, made me happy. I was a kid when Art Monk was here in this town. And when you turned on the game on Sunday, Art Monk caught a pass. I know that because he set the record for most consecutive catches, most consecutive games with a catch over the course of his career, where he retired as the all-time leading receiver in NFL history. It's Grant Danny on the Fan. Toby in for GP. Nobody better to talk about the great Art Monk than our pal Mark Schlereth, one of his teammates in years past. Mark, how are you, man? Thanks for the time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's a pleasure.
Go through it. When you first got to town and you met Art Monk, he probably said, what, like 2.5, 3 words to you the first month or so, just kind of given how he was. But just what did you know before, and then what did you learn once you became his teammate?
Well, you know, Art and I are dear friends, and his daughter lives in Colorado, and so we're kind of surrogate parents. As a matter of fact, they lived with us in our home. His daughter and his son-in-law and their 4 children live with us for 6 months or so while they were resettling in Colorado. So we're dear friends, and you know, James Arthur has just been the most quiet guy. You would, like, he wouldn't say 3 words if, you know, he had a mouthful of them. So, like, that is who he is to his core, and has always been that way. But he was just such a no-nonsense, like, such a big-time wide receiver for us and such a big-time player for us, and so just revered, you know, just such a unbelievable man, a man of faith. And so, like, I can't say enough good things about Art. There's a couple things, like, that resonate with me about Art, because Art sat behind me on the plane out and back to Washington when we played together. And I would always come up. Art hated flying, so he was always just deathly afraid of flying. And I would always find one little fact or make up a little fact about airplane accidents and things that could happen while you're in the air. And he used to hate it. Like, he'd just be white knuckle gripped on the armrests all the time. And I'd always say, you know, Art, I mean, like, 100% of deaths happen in airplane crashes upon impact. So just think about that, you know, and I just kind of walk away. So that drove him crazy. But I'm telling you, I told you his daughter and their kids and his son-in-law stayed with us for a long time. And they're family to us. And so Art was at the house just a couple of years ago. And I don't want to butcher this story, but we were just talking about kind of fears and playing and all that kind of stuff. And here's a Hall of Fame wide receiver. And we were talking about just the things you struggled with, you know, the things that were difficult for you as a player. And again, one of the greatest receivers in the history of the National Football League, right? And when he first got drafted out of Syracuse in the first round to Washington, to the Redskins at the time, Art was not very good, he said, getting off the line of scrimmage. So press man, like, crushed him. And he just wasn't good on his releases versus press man. And he was considered, and if you go kind of back in the annals, like, he was at first when he got to Washington, I think, you know, people were whispering about being a bust. And when Joe Gibbs took over, Joe Gibbs, you know, created that 3 wide receiver set, that single back, you know, offense that we ran with an extra tight end as the potential H-back and a lot of solo formations, a lot of single, 11 personnel, single wide receiver or single tight end, single running back and 3 wide receivers in those bunch formations. And what Joe did in creating those bunches and put Art in motion. And once you put Art in motion, you're getting free releases because you can't get pressed in that. And it completely, as Art was telling me the story, and I don't want to, you know, tell it the wrong way, but as Art was discussing it with me, it was like completely changed his career. And that's what set him on the path to the Hall of Fame, is being in motion and doing all those things out of the bunch formations where he had protection, where they couldn't press him anymore. So really cool to even think about, like, a Hall of Fame career that mm-hmm. could have been interrupted had it not been coached right. And that's what's always amazing about playing in the NFL and coaching in the NFL and being at the right place at the right time and the right system. You know, and I'm so fortunate. I look at my own career in the NFL, and it goes all the way back to my college days. In my college days, I was coached by an unbelievable offensive line coach by the name of Dan Cazzetta, who is a dear, dear friend of mine. And then I was coached in my first year in Washington by the legendary Joe Bugle. And then after that, it was the legendary Jim Hannifin. And after that, I went to Denver and got coached by the legendary Alex Gibbs. All three of those guys should be in the NFL Hall of Fame as assistant coaches. They're incredible. They created, like, they set the standard. And so, you know, you get into the right system at the right time, the right place in your career. Even when I left and went to Denver, I got out of, you know, Washington, where we were all counter and power and trapping guys, and my body was so beat up. And we got into that zone system, and it added years to my career because I wasn't having all the collisions I had during the course of my Redskin career. So, you know, being in the right place, the right time, getting the right coaching is the difference between being a guy that, you know, turns out to be a bust and being a Hall of Famer sometimes. And so really cool to see James Arthur get the credit that, you know, he deserves. Obviously, he's in the Hall of Fame, but to get his jersey retired is just flat out awesome. Hanging that 81 will be incredible.
Talk with Mark Schlereth here on Grant and Danny. Toby Altizer sitting in for Grant Paulson. I didn't get the privilege of watching Art Monk play, but so many people in my family speak so reverently about Art Monk. Obviously, Danny mentioned that he's his favorite player growing up. As someone that knows Art was a teammate of his, what makes him so special? Because the numbers speak for themselves, and there are plenty of people that obviously put up great numbers and people love, but it's when you can combine a great person with a player off the field mm-hmm. as a player on the field. What makes him so special as a person?
Yeah, it just had such an impact on all of our lives, you know, everybody's life. And it's one of those things where, you know, the actions speak louder than the words. I mean, that guy didn't say anything ever, but he always lived his life, you know, lived his life in such a way that you wanted to emulate that guy. So that's the way he operated. And then on the field, you know, even though he wasn't loud, wasn't boisterous, wasn't today's, you know, diva slash wide receiver like we see and we have grown used to with the fantasy football leagues and stuff, that dude was as competitive as anybody, goes out there, works his butt off. And he was the guy, you know, where Ricky Sanders and Gary Clark were kind of the flash and the big over the top. That was the move the chains guy, right? That was the guy that was going to, you know, run the curls inside and catch the ball and, you know, stick his nose in there and break a tackle and get, you know, an extra 4 yards to make it first down. Like, that's what he did. And he was just a move the chains, no nonsense, the shallow crosses, the medium, you know, the low cross, the high cross, the in the middle of the football field, the dagger routes and all the things that he caught. And it wasn't that he couldn't go deep, but he did a lot of the dirty work back in those days that kept the chains moving, that got us key third down conversions.
So, Mark, you mentioned that phrase. My guy Toby's a young person. That's not his fault for being young, but it's times like this where if you're of a certain age, you hear he went over the middle. And now the young people are like, yeah, he probably found a soft spot in the zone. Back in the day, you went over the middle, and hunters lived there. And it was separate mm-hmm. you from the football or separate your head from your body or whatever. He did that. He did those grimy, hard as hell yards in the middle of the field. Speak to the difference then versus now as to kind of what that meant, to having that I don't know what you call that mantle, that mantra, yeah. where he could yeah. go over the middle of the field and there was no question about it with him.
And there was a time, you know, where quarterbacks were coached, hey man, if you get a middle of the field close, like a single high safety look, you don't throw skinny posts, you don't throw the post, you know, you don't throw in the middle of the football field the seams because somebody will get decapitated. You just call them hospital balls. Mm-hmm. You can't be throwing your receivers a hospital ball, you know, and that's the way it was. Now you just go, hey, put it on him. It'll be a 15-yard flag if he tries to hit us. You know, that's like, it's a different game that way. And when you went over the middle, you know, when I first got in the league and obviously well before me, there were dudes that were just going to light you up. And I mean, it was kind of there was guys that just flat out weren't going to play there, you know, weren't going to do that. And you had dudes like back in the day, Jack Tatum back in the day, you know, Andre Dirty Waters. You had, man, Chuck Cecil. We were playing a game against Arizona. Chuck Cecil hit Ronnie Middleton so hard, I thought Ronnie Middleton was dead. I literally thought he died on the field. Like, it was like Chuck Cecil. If you've never heard of Chuck Cecil, go watch Chuck Cecil play football. That dude would absolutely put his bean on people, and he was trying to hurt people. He's a great dude. I mean, like, we were all trying. Like, that's what we were doing, not intentionally or anything, but just, like, you're trying to knock dudes out of games. And it was just a different time and different rules, and there was a badge of honor. So there were certain guys, you know, that weren't of the size to do that dirty work inside. But Art will never shy away from that stuff. He's a big, tall receiver, big-bodied guy, and tough as they come.
What were some of your favorite moments of him on the football field with you?
Well, when he set that record, it was my rookie year, and I just remember the game stopping when he said, I don't know if it was a consecutive catch record. I think it was the consecutive catch record that he broke, and I think it was Steve Largent's record maybe that he broke, but we were playing a Monday night game against the Denver Broncos, if I remember correctly, and we stopped the game and all went and celebrated Art and, you know, and kind of, you know, held him up, and then the game just proceeded, and we ended up losing that game, I think, 10-7 to Gary Kubiak, as a matter of fact, because Elway got sick in that game. So, but I just remember, you know, I just remember thinking how cool that was to see, you know, Art Monk and know the legend. And listen, the game is different today. Like, I walk in to a meeting room with today's players, and most of the players don't know me from Adam, right? They don't know that I played. As a matter of fact, Montez Sweat, who played, you know, in Washington forever, right? I mean, he played in Washington for quite some time. And he gets traded to Chicago. And it's Montez Sweat, right? I'm right on that, yeah.
Yeah.
And so he gets traded to Chicago. And so it's the first game, I think it's the first game he's in Chicago now after his trade, and I'm doing the Chicago game. So I said, hey, yeah, give me, you know, on defense, give me Montez. I want to talk to Montez, you know, he's, you know, playing for Chicago now and just the transition, all that kind of stuff. And so he walks into our meeting room and we shake hands, you know, and he kind of eyes me up and goes, you're pretty big. And he goes, did you used to play? And I said, yeah, I played a little bit.
Yeah, I did. Okay.
And he goes, what, did you play in college? And I said, yeah, I played in college. He goes, what college? And I go, University of Idaho. And he goes, oh, okay. And he sits down. That was it. Like, he just figured I played at college. And my producer goes, he started for 12 years in the NFL, went to multiple Pro Bowls, won 3 world championships. As a matter of fact, you walk by in your team meeting room every day, and there's a picture of him, you know, Super Bowl champion right there on the wall as you're walking into the team meeting room. Like, my producer was disgusted, right? But the reason I tell you that story is I knew the history coming in the league. I was an NFL football fan. And it's different now because most of the guys become NFL fans from playing Madden. Most guys don't have a sense of history of the league. Most guys didn't, you know, a lot of the guys in the league nowadays didn't grow up watching NFL football. And so, and I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying it's different. It's different than the way I came up. So I had this unbelievable reverence for guys like you seeing Charles Mann and knowing that he went to Reno and that I played at Idaho. And if Charles Mann maybe can make it, then maybe I can make it. And then seeing him in person for the first time going, oh, maybe I can't make it. Look at that body compared to my body. You know, it's like, maybe I'm not meant for this game. So you had such a great sense of the league and you knew the players before you came in, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, that's you know, that's Calvin Bryant. You know, he played for the Philadelphia Stars and oh my gosh, that's, you know, and you just had that. And, you know, and obviously most of the kids in today's game, they don't have that. And I'm not asking them to, cause it's just different. But you know, I had great reverence for Art Monk and the guys that were here before me.
So let's go to some of the playoff performances of Art Monk. I remember for years when, for whatever reason, he couldn't get into the Hall of Fame, which I always thought was just the most absurd thing in the world, Mark. But you'd have these weird sort of straw man things, like he never had a Super Bowl touchdown or things like that. Mm-hmm. But there were these huge mega games that you guys would, you know, lose to one of the eventual champions. Like, I remember, I think it was before you got here, lost to the eventual champion Giants in the NFC title game. He went 8 for 126. Or the year, and I think it was the 1990 team, You guys lost to San Francisco, who was great. He got 160-some yards. But, like, the Super Bowl touchdown or whatever eluded him. But those playoff performances, there were some unbelievable we got to have at times, and it went to Art Monk.
Yeah, you know, we even he caught a touchdown. They got called back in Super Bowl 26 because I think he was out just barely out of bounds. And, like, we were all excited because we knew he'd never caught it. You know, we knew he'd been to the Super Bowl. You know, we knew, I mean, we all knew the history. And so we were all geeked up for him to catch Super Bowl touchdown, you know, and they took it back. And unfortunately, that never worked out for him. But, yeah, you know, some of those, like, they've got to have something. The voters have to have something to scrutinize. And you know, and they love to do that. They love to, you know, to feel or wield their power, so to speak, I think, in some cases. But, yeah, ludicrous that it took him some time. But, you know, eventually he got where he belonged in the Hall of Fame. And you're right, he had great playoff games, and he was just such a big part of what we did as an offense in the passing game. And, you know, that was a time where not everybody was playing, you know, basing out of 11 or playing kind of quote unquote nickel. And that's what we did.
How cool do you think it is now at this point where this franchise for a long time was very, very careful not to retire jerseys, but then to see Darryl Green last year, now seeing Art Monk, how cool is it to now start recognize some of these all-time greats in this franchise?
I think it's incredible. And you know, I was part of the Darryl Green festivities last year. And, you know, I don't know. I'm my wife and I are the godparents to all his grandkids. You know, we raised his daughters essentially. Like we're so tight, and it's always funny. It's such an honor to be named a godparent, and then they start growing up, and you realize, oh, so there's actually responsibilities that go along with this.
Yeah,
there's
some stuff.
like this is getting expensive, but it's awesome. You know, we're just such dear family friends, and my wife and Jewel are such great friends. But it was so cool because they celebrated Darryl, but they celebrated all of us. And to see the guys, like just the throngs of guys come back to celebrate Darryl. But it's like all these guys all of a sudden felt welcome again. And so, you know, all these different generations of players, a bunch of guys I played with, a bunch of guys I didn't that we got to talk to, it was just special. Man, it was really, really special and just really cool to see it. And so I am so thankful, you know, for the Harris Group that took over and purchased Washington and what an unbelievable job they have done of inviting all of us ex, you know, players back into the fold, and what a great job they've done of honoring the guys who, you know, who really helped create such a unbelievable franchise. And Washington, let's face it, for years and years and years, when I got there, I mean, it was already one of the jewels in the crown of the NFL. And, you know, those days under Snyder dissipated, they disappeared. And it's so cool to kind of see that coming back, and the success they had under Dan Quinn is amazing. It's just awesome. It's just so cool to see.
Mark, this is a real treat, man. Really appreciate it. It speaks volumes to you that you're willing to come on and just talk about someone else. So this is really, really nice of you, man. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. You guys be well.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate there he Mark. Goes. That's Mark Schlereth.